Let me tell you, it was a pleasure, even greater pleasure, to hear him sing in a singing competition at his school. And guess which song he sang? This one. Yeah. And guess who won? He won. Yeah. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful worship. What a time like no other, given in a gift of Sabbath. And Lord, you packaged so much of goodies for us in the form of your grace, in the form of your love, in the form of your truth, in the form of fellowship, and something that no other day can bring like this day, Lord, but also in the form of your word. So today, Lord, as your word speaks to us, we pray it will do the work that it is intended to do in our lives and in our hearts. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you know, we've been doing the fruit of the Spirit. And we finished just yesterday with the week of prayer. And today we are crowning it with spiritual gifts. That's what we are going to finish with. So let me start with this Bible text. That's where the interest is. The exposition of the word is not as important as the word itself. So that's why pay attention to what the Bible says. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to a lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Look why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. How beautiful is the Bible text, huh? It's so packed, so packed. And we just need to just dissect it and take so many important lessons from there for us and for our lives. Here are the questions. Okay. Here are the questions to help us out, get the best out of the text. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What are they? What is it? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Number two, what does it mean for us practically as a church? What does it mean practically for us? And number three, how do we properly use the gifts of the Spirit? How do we use them properly? Okay. Let me start with the operating definition and see if this fits biblical text. This is what I think is the definition on the basis of the Bible. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Gifts of the Holy Spirit are abilities given by the Holy Spirit to all who believe in order to meet the needs of others so that the church and the community around us become more like Jesus. It's a slick definition, and it means nothing unless we understand and internalize the importance of it. Okay, so it is the abilities given by the Holy Spirit to us. Yes, it's given to you, but it is for somebody else, so that the church and the community can be built and we all become more like somebody who is gloriously beautiful in every aspect. Okay. Apostle Paul speaks about the gifts of the Spirit in different places. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. And I want you to see that each is different. So no text gives us the same list of the gifts of the Spirit. They're all different. But not all gifts are listed, which tells you this, that there are many gifts, and even Paul did not list all of them. They're all different. There are so many gifts and so many abilities that God gives to people that He created, but especially His people who accepted Him as Lord and Savior. God gives these gifts. Also, I want you to see that we could divide these gifts into different categories. And as I'm looking into these categories, I want you to look at them and place yourself where you think potentially which category you belong to. Here is the first one. You have the whole series of gifts which are truth-related. You have the gift of teaching. You have the gift of evangelism. This gift of relating the truth through teaching and preaching and evangelism is a special gift given to some people. And God has bestowed upon some this gift because the truth about the gospel, especially the truth about God, who is a creator, who is a savior, who is a soon coming king, who is our judge, God who created us and God who is coming, is important truth that people in the world need to know. They need to be taught. They need to accept it. So God has bestowed this gift of teaching and preaching and evangelism on some people. It's an important gift. Maybe, as you are listening, and you know that God has given you teaching abilities, it's a gift given to you that God wants you to cultivate. It is not just for you. The whole point is that it is for others, and God needs you in that capacity. Maybe some of you, and I know a couple of you who are going to be preachers and pastors. Flame that gift within you. Explore that gift. Use that gift. It is not for you. It's given to you, but for the sake of somebody else. Maybe some of you are seeing yourself in this specific gift. There's another one, and that is to give direction. There are some people who are great organizers. There are some people who are terrible organizers. But everybody can learn to organize. There are those who have these administrative gifts, gifts that give direction. Maybe that's you. Remember, God has given you that gift. Use it. Cultivate it. Somebody else needs it. There's another one, to help and assist. There are so many people who are in need, different kinds of needs. And God has given you more than maybe another person this caring spirit. You are so naturally encouraging of others. You have a gift of counseling. So as I'm speaking to you, there could be some of you antennas going up and say, yes, I think I have that. Yes, I think I have that. Well, there you are. God is bestowing upon you this gift because somebody else needs it. And there will be a lot of people who need it. So there they are, these categories of speaking the truth, the gospel truth, helping others, assisting others, giving direction to others. All gifts of the Holy Spirit are there to satisfy the need of another person. Yes, it's given to you, but it's not for your sake. It is for the sake of somebody else out there. God has made us into people who are not self-centered, but other-centered. That is the major difference between God and his arch enemy, the devil himself. When God gives gifts, he gives it to you, but he says, hey, it's for somebody else. When Tamana sang today, it's a gift to bless you and me, to lift your faith up, to encourage you in faith. That is the whole point. It is not so much to build him up, but he is there to work diligently on the gift and to deliver it over and over again for the sake of others. What kind of needs? Physical needs, spiritual needs, relational needs, mental needs. God has given you a gift, not for your own sake, but for the sake of others. Encourage when people are discouraged. Heal when people are hurt. Tell the truth about the gospel, about the word of God to others. Give direction to those who are uncertain. So spiritual, do you see how spiritual gifts make us dependent on each other? In other words, God did not just throw all the gifts into one person. That person would be totally self-sufficient. But somehow in his wisdom and in his design, he gave a package of gifts to you, but he didn't give you others. But he gave it to somebody else. He said, you see, you're to have a relationship with the other person. And that other person is going to complement you. And you're going to develop love and friendship and a deeper relationship as you serve each other with gifts that God has given you. That's God's design. And that's perfectly fine. If Ken can't sing, but Tamana can sing, that's okay. But Ken can be an elder and give direction and organize and use his God-given gifts. It is for somebody else, not for him. So, what are the gifts for? And we already started talking about this is the goal of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is service. Teachers, evangelists, pastors, prophets, elders, singers, and list is so long. What for? To do what? To equip people for the work of service. So what is the purpose, as we said, for people to exercise their spiritual gifts to build up the body called church? All gifts are different. Yes, the phone is ringing. All gifts are different. Like a body. Hand, eyes, legs, all inner parts. They all have their specific function. But what Paul is saying and what we know is that they work so beautifully together. And one needs the other, and one cannot without the other. That's my body, that's your body, but this is also the body called church. So you can't go without the other. And God made it this way. God made it this way, not only your personal body, but this body to function together, to mature together, to work together, to be purposeful together. How beautiful is that? I want you to see this and think about this. And I'm sure you will understand this. The most important thing is not that it's not the excellence of the gift, but rather the blessing of God upon that gift. Yeah? It's not the excellence of the gift. You see, somebody can have a gift, but if that person is proudful, it's really sour, isn't it? You start not to appreciate that gift because of a proudful heart of that person. So it's not the excellence of the gift, but the blessing of the Spirit that comes with that gift, which is undergirded by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, humility. Now, well, let's now go into where the rubber meets the road and talk about what is practically important about what we are talking about, which is spiritual gifts. What is it? Well, one obvious one is that there is no, and there should be no, passive or idle Christians. Make sense? Look what it says. And take this as the word of God for you, please. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Isn't that nice? He gives us a package of abilities through the power of the Spirit. And he says, I'm matching it with a specific work in a specific place for the benefit of other people. How good is that? So he gives you the package of gifts through the Spirit. And he says, your gifts now will be matched with needs around you. Now go for it. Now go for it. How beautiful is that text? We are God's workmanship. He gave us the gifts, and now he says, let's partner with me, so let's use them. Let's use them. To understand, embrace, and exercise your gifts is to find the meaning, purpose, and mission in life. Isn't it? Well, it's easy to say that, and it's easy to say even amen. But we do have problems, don't we? And often in a church, often in a community, what happens is there is so much to be done, and only few people there to exercise the gift. Too many bystanders, too many observers. And that's a problem. We are going to come to look at the question why, but I'm just stating a problem at the moment. There's so much to be done. There's so much need out there. There is so much gifting inside here, and it's not matching the needs out there. Something is stuck. It's not released. Another problem, I'm just stating problems for now. There are too many people who are ready to receive but struggle to give. This consumer kind of an attitude. I receive but I don't give. That balance is extremely important. That balance is extremely important that you both receive and give. Receive and give. That's the universe, the law of the universe that God created. And this is number three. Once you start exercising your gifts, problems arise. And this is the major reason why people choose not to exercise their gifts. And they say, why bother? So I'm starting to use my gift, and I encounter problems. And then what I do, I say, no way, Jose. Not going to be hurt. I'm not going to be told. And I withdraw. So there's still need out there, and there's your uniqueness of your personality that can meet your need, but you close up, and God never meant it to that to happen. So what I'm saying to you, I want you to recognize that when you are going to use your gifts, you will encounter problems. Do you see that? You will. Let me show you. Let me show you. It typically happens. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit came with the goodies on the day of Pentecost and enabled First Christian Church to spread the truth of the gospel to people? And 3,000 people were baptized on a single day. People were convicted. Many were baptized. Many became Christians. What problems did they have? What problems they didn't have, eh? Persecution came, okay? So, well, that's my whole point. When God has given you a gift, and you say, God, okay, I get it. It's not just there for me, it's for others. And I'm there to use it for your glory. I understand I will face the problems. The first apostolic church did. They were persecuted. Let me give you another gift. Remember the teaching. That's another gift specified. Paul was an amazing teacher. When you look at the First Corinthians, the book of First Corinthians, every single chapter in the First Corinthians is about a problem. This problem, this problem, this problem, this problem in the church. And Paul is teaching and addressing every problem with the truth. How to be resolved. So if your gift is a gift of teaching or preaching or pastoring, you will encounter problems. But there is a truth in the Word of God to encounter those problems. But they will come in the form of teaching, in the form of heresy, etc., etc. There's another one. And this one we find again on the pages of the Bible. Church started to grow. They would have fellowship. They would have church lunches. And people came up who had gifts of helping and caring for others. They started to help. They organized themselves. But there were problems. It was perceived that it was done unfairly. And those people who were helping, they could have been discouraged and say, hey, I'm doing my best. Yeah? But somehow there were problems. Do you see how problems come when you start to exercise your gift? But here are two most fundamental problems, much deeper than the ones that I mentioned so far. And here they are. Pride and jealousy. When you have a gift, it's like somebody can be jealous of your gift because they don't have it. That's not the only one. If you have a gift, you can be proudful about the gift that you have. And that's a deeper problem. And that in turn also can make the community suffer. Either pride or jealousy. And you know what? It's in all of our hearts. You can be both proudful and jealous at the same time. I see amens in the form of nodding. Some people end up being leaders and others don't. And there are two essential problems that arise from this one. Because I'm a leader, I become proudful. Or he or she is a leader, and I'm jealous. And we stop the working of the Spirit in his trucks. But the gifts cannot be exercised, and the body cannot be built up into the stature of the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. Some leaders lord it over others, and that happens too. You see, there are problems, conflicts, as we exercise our gifts, but there should be no pride or jealousy. And the Holy Spirit is there to eliminate them. And here we come to the point, how is that possible? How can, on one hand, spiritual gifts be exercised and my inadequacies be enriched by the richness of your abilities? And how can I enrich you with your inadequacies and that we are all happy? How is that possible? The only way it is possible is through the exercise of the fruit of the Spirit. You can flourish in your gift, and you can flourish in your gift, and you can flourish in your gift when it is undergirded by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. So don't mistake a gift for fruit. Every Christian should have the whole package of all spiritual fruit. Love, joy, patience, humility, self-control. Seek the fruit of the Spirit. The whole package you need, the whole package you need. But you will not have the whole package of spiritual gifts. Here it is. That's why we need to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Do you find yourself more content and joyful no matter what life circumstances? That's the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God makes you content in the kind of life circumstances that are not great and not good, where there is a pressure from the outside, where there is a jealousy from the outside, and you are okay, that is the fruit of the Spirit. So you see, in order to exercise properly the gifts that God has given you, it has to be undergirded by the fruit of the Spirit. Do you find yourself more and more humble in spite of criticism, for you know that you are secure in God? Or you say, nah, I'm not going to do it anymore. So you shut yourself. Need still remains. The reason why you shut yourself is because the fruit of the Spirit is just not working. It's not happening. Somehow, love has gone. Patience is gone. Humility is gone. Self-control is gone. Dissipated. And therefore, effectiveness of your abilities and talent is gone. Do you find your prayer life being rich? Do you sense God's presence and His love? Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And you need this foundation for the launch of the gifts that God has given you. We saw that the exercise of the gifts can bring about problems, misunderstanding, pride, jealousy, burnout. However, the fruit of the Spirit will make the gifts of the Spirit effective and purposeful. Look at this text. Speak the truth in love, and it will build us into the fullness of Christ. And every part of the body is doing its thing properly. The body built itself up in love. Paul does not talk about spiritual gifts without talking about love. I want you to see something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about gifts. Do you know what's 1 Corinthians 13? Do you see how one cannot go without the other? If you are passive and not using gifts, is it possible? It's because of the lack of love. So instead of working on gifts, you need to work on the fruit of the Spirit. If you are passive and not using your gifts, there's every chance that there is a lack of love. If you're jealous and proudful, there's every chance that there's lack of love. And therefore, you're stopped in your tracks to exercise your gifts. And let's finish with a gospel moment. I read at the beginning, but I'll read it again. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. What Paul is talking about is very clear in his mind, and maybe it's not clear to many people who are reading it. But this is basically what it means. In ancient time, nation would have a war against another nation, and it would come to invade a country and enslave the people. A king of the nation that was under the attack would go out with his army to fight the enemy and defend his people. If this king who is under the attack is successful and delivers the people, he would return back to the capital, sit on his throne triumphantly. But this would happen. He would formally sit again on his throne. But then what would happen is then he would give gifts to people. The spoils of war. He would literally give those gifts to the people. His victory would literally enrich people. Do you see where I'm taking you? This is the gospel moment. God in Jesus descended, triumphed over his arch enemy, Satan, and defeated him on the cross. He defeated sin and death. Now, from heavenly sanctuary where He ascended, He gives gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit stemmed from the cross of Calvary. They are legitimately given to you to enable you to build people around you through the unique giftedness of what God has given you into a stature of better people, into a stature of Jesus Christ. It all comes from the cross. Satan is a defeated enemy. God has defeated him. In the process, he plundered the enemy. Now he has gifts to give to us. Folks, God has equipped you. By and large, you know with what? What are you doing with your gifts? What category of gifts are you in? What are you doing with it? Has life become only earning money, putting food on the table, and that's what you do every day? Helping my children, and that's all. Is that all that God has given you? Is that all that is purpose about your life? What has God given you? What are you doing with it? Is your gift matching the needs out there? Is your gift matching the needs of a local church? I was so glad to see so many people on Thursday, 20 of you. And that's not the only thing that we do here, you know. That's helping people, helping community. We need people who are teachers. We need people who are helpers. We need people who are preachers and teachers. We need your gift because there are people out there who need you. I trust that the Word of God was good enough for you today to stir you up. How good is our God? He gave you a gift. Not for yourself. Don't be selfish, please. Let's not be selfish. It's for somebody out there. How good is our God that through the gift of the Spirit, He can make us into loving people, patient people, people of self-control, so that we can deliver the gift in a proper way. People, you are in the right place. People out there do not know that the gifts are not, you know, what the culture says. You are to self-actualize yourself. It's all about you. It's all about your self-discovery. You know, that's what the culture tells us. It's all about you. And the Christianity tells you that's a partial truth. God loves you, that He gave His life for you. That's how special you are. But ultimately, while it is about you, God says, but I'm not making you into a selfish person. I'm making you to serve others. And that's the main difference between me, God says, and my archenemy. Archenemy is all about me, about me, about me. And me is all about others. So please, don't bury your gift like in that story, in that parable that Jesus told us. Don't bury it. Use it. Come up and say, Pastor, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. Because you can. You have what it takes. Because the Spirit of God is upon you. And He's giving it to you. May God bless you as He stirs you today to serve Him. Amen.